without saying, and I know I've been guilty of it on multiple occasions, and chances are most of us are, but as we listen this morning, as we read these particular scriptures and expound upon them, I want you to try to do something that's very difficult for most of us to do, and it's difficult for me to do, especially sitting in church and the scripture is something that's convicting to me. I want you to not look around and say, this must be for him. I've been there. I've done it. Don't look around and say, this must be for her. Don't look around and say, well, I'm glad so-and-so is here this morning. Don't look around and say, well, I wonder who this is to. This morning, I want all of us to look at these scriptures and look at this word and look at it in our life. And how we look at God, and how we value God, and how we commit to God, and how we serve God, and how we love God, and ultimately, whether or not, and how we believe in God's only begotten Son. This morning, I want to introduce to you that lighthouse. I'm really glad y'all sang that song. I love that song. Because without that lighthouse, without Jesus Christ, without His dying on our cross, without His propitiation for our sin, without His blood atonement for what we have done in our life, we would never be able to see Him. Our ship would sail no more. And y'all changed the words from the way I always heard it. The way I always heard it is, my ship will sail no more. And you said, my ship will be no more. And that makes a little more sense, because if you're no longer sailing, you can still, swim. But without Jesus Christ, there is no swimming, there is no sailing, there is no nothing. We will be no more. None. Zero. If you have your Bibles, the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. We're going to begin reading in verse number 19. If you're able, let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6, we're going to begin in verse number 19. This is considered to be the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking. He said, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us, even this morning. God, we thank you for the wonderful gifts that you've given to folks in this church to sing and to play and to teach and to bless our hearts every morning. Lord, we ask as we look into your word this morning that we could do so with open hearts. God, we wouldn't try to apply it to someone else's life. God, if we could apply your word to our life. God, ultimately and above all, if there's one even among us this morning that don't yet know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, if they could believe in Him, that they could see the need, God, if they could simply trust in your Son for eternal life before it be too late. Be with each and every request of prayer, each and every one made it to service this morning. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever you're getting ready for church in the morning or ready for work, what is it that you never forget? What is it that you absolutely never, ever forget to bring with you or to put on for church? We were almost ready to go this morning, and Bailey said, I need jewelry. We were this far from being out the door. And she said, I need jewelry. I need a bracelet. I need a necklace. I said, well, let's go. We'll get a bracelet. Well, most Sundays she really wants a necklace. I said, we'll get two bracelets if we don't have to get a necklace. She said, okay, so I put two bracelets on her arm, and here we go out the door. So every Sunday, she don't always put on a necklace. And every Sunday, I don't always wear a tie clip. This morning, I didn't wear a tie clip. Some mornings, I don't have to put a little safety pin back here because all my ties are too short. Sometimes, I have one long tie. And so sometimes, I don't have to wear that. And sometimes, on Sunday nights, I don't wear a tie. And some days, I go out of the house, and I forgot to put on my watch. It don't happen often. Y'all can see the tan line. But sometimes I forget to put on my watch. But you know what I never leave house without? I never leave without pants. I don't. I never leave without pants. But so many times in our life, instead of God being our pants, God is our ring. Or God is our watch. Or God is our phone that we can't never seem to locate. Or God is our car keys. And we only pick them up whenever we need them. We only pick them up every now and then. And otherwise, we don't care about them. We just throw them around and we just toss them here, there, and yonder. And God is an accessory in so many instances in our lives, rather than God being the priority in our life. God should not be an accessory that we put on every now and then. God and even His Word should not be something that we take and we meditate on every now and then. It shouldn't be something that we just want once in a blue moon. Y'all ever eat them little cream puffs? About yay big, full of the white cream on the inside of the puff pastry, they call them. I could eat them things. When I was in college, we tried to see how many we could fit in our mouth at one time. It's a box, whole box, without a problem. You know how many times we eat them? At weddings. Don't tell me. I don't ever see them anywhere else. If I could figure out where to buy them, I'd be in good shape. And until I see them at a wedding or a shower or something like that, until I see them, until I lay eyes on them, I don't crave them. But once I see them, I have to have them. I have to have two or three or four or a dozen of them, however many it is. And I want them so bad. But up until that point, I don't even care about them. They don't even cross my mind at all. And so many times that God is that way in our life. In that until we need Him, we don't care about Him. We don't. Until we need Him, we don't care about Him. Lay for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, for what it is you care about, for what it is you love, there will your heart be. You only have so much room in your life, and if you fill it with everything but God, there's no room for God. And that is evident in the fruit that we bear. Jesus said that if we are followers of Him, that if we are disciples of Him, that we will bear good fruit, but if we are not, we will bear bad fruit. In your life today, what fruit do you bear? Again, don't look at other people and don't look at me. Look at yourself. Let's look at ourselves individually. What kind of fruit do we bear? Do people miss us when we're not at church? Are we unable to locate our Bible because we hadn't seen it in a week? How often do we pray? How often do we study the Bible? I'm not talking about just pick it up and read it. I mean, how many times do we study it? How often do you dive down into it and don't want to get out? How often do we spend on our knees begging God to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to help in our families, to help in our church? Psalm chapter number 1, he said, the blessed man, chapter verse number 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. God is not a side item. God is not an accessory. God is not just something that we bring along. God should be the priority in our life. And if He is not, then something needs to change. And in 90% of our lives, we need something to change. Because we spend so many time saying, well, if this person would just do this, things would get better. You know what makes things better in my life, Brother Terry, is when I change. You know what makes things better? And whenever I see... I'm going to use this for an example, and I don't expect anybody to change a light bulb after this service. But that light bulb right here over the top of Miss Tommy's head has been out for 4, 5, 6 weeks. A lot of weeks. And folks have come and asked me, said, well, you know there's a light bulb out in church? I said, yeah, I know. And then somebody else, there's a light bulb out in church. Yeah, I know. There's a light bulb out in church. I know Brother Roy's got the same comments. There's a light bulb out in church. There's a light bulb out in the sanctuary. There's a light bulb that's not working, and it's still not working. Whenever we see things in our life that aren't quite there, we like to say, well, oh, so-and-so needs to do this, and oh, so-and-so needs to do that. But if we want something to change, it has to start with us as an individual. It has to start with me. I have to be the one to begin the change. I have to be the change. You can't be closer to God if you never decide to be closer to God. You can't commit to God if you never commit to God, if that makes any sense at all. You can't be closer to God if you only ever think about Him every now and then. I can't tell my wife, Emily, I love you. I love you so very much. But I'm going to start staying somewhere else. I'm not going to come home anymore. I'm going to show up every now and then, but I want my meals in a to-go box. Just pack them up and put them on the porch. And I'm not going to sleep at the house. I'm going to go find me somewhere else to stay. And I'm not going to come around you at all. And matter of fact, I don't even want you to come to church anymore. Go to a different church. That way I don't have to see you at all. But I love you so very much. That's how we treat God. We say, God, I love you so very much. I just don't want nothing to do with you. God, I love you so much. I just don't want nothing to do with your word. God, I love you so much. I just don't want nothing to do with your people. God, I love you so much. But I really don't. Don't get any amens on this. We say that we love God so much, but our actions prove that that is in fact a lie. That we are in fact failing. And we are. I am. Because if we want things to get better in our life, then we have to begin to change. God can only come into our life once we have emptied something else. Once we have gotten rid of something else. You can't have God and sin and love them both. You can't do it. It's impossible. The only point at which you can, you know, love equally is whenever you have kids, because I love my two equally. But Bailey's my favorite up until Brady begins to understand English. You can love your kids equally. You can love your grandkids equally. But you can't love God and sin equally. You can't love God and the world equally. And Matthew chapter 6 is an awesome chapter to read. If you get an opportunity, read through the whole Sermon on the Mount. Read it two or three times. But he said, you cannot serve two masters. Verse number 24. No man, no woman, no child, nobody who can't figure out who they are or what they are, nobody and no individual, no human can serve two masters. You're going to hate the one and love the other. You're going to love one and hate the other. That is it. There is no middle ground. There is no straddling the fence. No man can serve two masters. So what is the answer? What is the answer to prioritizing God? Because we can say, God, I love you, and it's easy. It is easy to sing and praise God when Miss Mary had to play the piano like this. Ain't it? It's easy. It's easy to sing and praise God when everybody else in the church is doing it. But it's hard whenever there's nobody else standing beside you singing Amazing Grace. It's hard to sing Amazing Grace. Whenever there's nobody else standing beside you singing Mansion Over the Hilltop, it's hard to sing Mansion Over the Hilltop. It's easy whenever you get that group mentality. And that's why church is so important. But it must carry out beyond those doors. It can't stop here. It can't end here. It can't be finished here. God has to be a constant in our life. God has to be a permanent in our life. And so many times, and I've struggled with it in my life, and I know some of you have as well. We have commitment issues. I told y'all a couple of days ago, I went in Walmart and I walked in and they have bananas and grapes and apples all right there at the beginning. And I picked up grapes in one hand and bananas in the other hand. And I went looking for bread, knowing that I could, you know, grab that loaf of bread with my pointer finger and I'd be good. Got three things and I'm out of there. And I get to the bread aisle and there's fudge rounds. So I put the bananas down and I pick up the fudge rounds. And then I get to going a little longer and there's Oreo cookies, which I love with milk. And so I put the grapes down and I end up with Oreo cookies. And that's the reason that it is a real struggle to lose weight at my house. It's because my priorities get skewed whenever I see something that I want. Whenever I see a box of cream puffs, and you can't just have one. You have to have them all. You have to just keep going until there ain't nothing left. And even when Bailey wants one, they're just too good. Go get you a cracker, darling. Just... We will commit to things like fudge rounds and cream puffs. We will commit to birthday cake and we will commit to Krispy Kreme. And I saw a lot of people at the Valentine's banquet committed to the prime rib. And they were trying their best to finish that big old slab of meat, of beef. We'll commit to food. We'll commit to sports. We'll commit to our favorite college. We'll commit to our favorite team. We'll commit to our favorite high school. And hey, we'll be faithful. We won't miss a game. But we won't commit to God. Because God gets in the way of everything else that we enjoy. Tell me I'm not telling the truth. We won't commit to God because He gets in the way of everything else. You know why? Because we can't serve God and the world. We can't. The Bible says it. Logic says it. Just think about it. You can't serve God and man. You can't serve God and the flesh. Chapter number 6, verse number 33. Says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This morning, how committed are you to God? If we sit back and we evaluate our life as an individual, And I know we have several teachers in the audience, and if I took me a rubric, because that's what administrators like, and I take me a rubric and I say, how are you doing on this aspect of your Christianity? Well, that's a 1 out of 4, okay? And how are you doing on this aspect of your, how are you doing on Bible reading? A 2 out of 4, that ain't good, you need to straighten up. And how are you doing on language? Are you using bad words a lot? How are you doing on your evangelism? Are you sharing the gospel with others? How would you rank? Would there be a lot of ones? A lot of unacceptables? A lot of unsatisfactories? Would we be somewhere in the middle?
Book of Revelation talks about that church that was lukewarm. The angel said, I would rather you be cold or hot. Because if you're cold, you have a long way to go, but you're aware that you have a problem. And if you're hot, then you're on fire for God. You're right where you need to be, and you are steady growing. But if you're in the middle, you think you're okay. You have no desire to change. And so many times we think we're okay because we come to church every now and then. Because we give to the church every now and then. I told y'all on Wednesday night that there was a video that I wanted y'all to listen to. And the name of it is Jerry Jordan, Phone Call from God. If you've never heard it, go listen to it. It's from the 60s or 70s. The man gets a phone call from God, and it's funny, but it's true. He said, Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm an absolute Christian. What do I go to church? Well, I went this past Sunday. What about Sunday night? Oh, I didn't go Sunday night. Give to the church. Oh, God, I give to the church. I gave just over $58 this past year. 10%. Well, that don't add up too well. The man thought he was a Christian. The man thought he was okay. The man thought he was good. He wasn't. So many times in our life, we think we're good. We think we're okay. We think we're where we need to be. It ain't got nothing to do with us thinking. Where do we measure up according to the Bible? Where do we measure up according to the gospel? Are we laying treasures up in heaven? Or is our treasure on earth? Turn to Luke chapter number 12. You still have your Bibles open this morning. The book of Luke chapter number 12, verse number 16. While you're headed that way, I want to read a verse to you from Proverbs chapter 3, chapter 16, verse 3. He said, commit thy works unto the Lord. Commit thy works. Everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we say, everything that we think, everything that we become, commit to God. He spake a parable unto them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Luke 12, 16. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. This man, and he probably was not a young man. And he said, I've got everything that I need. The ground brought forth good. Bumper crop this year. I have everything that I need. He said, I'll do better than that. I'll pull down my old barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'm taken care of. I'm set for life. I'm good. Never once did he mention God. Never once did he thank God. Never once did he prioritize God. Never once did he even think of God. That's how we live our life. Every day except for Sunday. Except for Sunday mornings, because a lot of folks don't go to church on Sunday nights. We don't listen. We don't read our Bible. We don't pray. We don't sing. We don't praise God. We don't thank God. We don't acknowledge God. And we may say the blessing before we eat dinner. How habitual is that? Does it count? Or we just say, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Amen. You may use different words, but that's how a lot of you prayed before you meal. I did the same thing most of my life. Does our prayers mean something? Or are they just words? Does our commitment to God mean something? Or are they just words? We'll stand up here and sing. We shall see Jesus. And then we go out in the world and we live however we want to live. Until next Sunday morning when we come back. And my daddy used to sing a song every single Sunday morning. And he used to sing it because there wasn't such thing as cell phones and we didn't have a radio in the house at the time. So he used to sing it. And then when we got cell phones, he played it on his phone every Sunday morning. And the song went, "What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. What a beautiful day for God to call His children home. Oh, how long to see His face and touch the Master's hand. What a beautiful day for the Lord to come again." I'm not sure we understand exactly how frail this life is. I don't think we understand exactly how mighty and how in desperate need of God we are. John 3:30. That's my favorite verse in the Bible. And so many years I read that verse and I missed exactly who was saying it. Because I look at that verse and I read, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Which makes sense, right? God must increase and I must decrease. Who said that? Anybody want to take a gander? Jesus said that. Jesus said, "He must increase and I must decrease." If Jesus said that, how in the world do we find ourselves in shape enough to forget about God? In shape enough to neglect God? Because we want God to be there when we need Him. We just ignore Him the rest of the time. We treat Him like an accessory we pick up whenever we need to look sharp. Y'all know how many times a week I put on these brown shoes? I put them on 3 times a week. Unless I go to a revival somewhere, and then I put them on however many church services I attend. I put them on that many times a week. You know why? These are my church shoes. So when I get ready to go to church, I put them on. And a lot of us treat God like church shoes. When we get ready to go to church, we'll acknowledge God, we'll sing to God, we'll praise God, we'll love God. "God, You are the number one thing in my life." And then we go home, we kick them off, and that is it. They just sit there and stink the rest of the week. We just ignore God the rest of the week. What I want to challenge you to do this morning, and what so many of us need to do daily, is what Jesus said. It's what Paul said. It's what Peter said. We got to crucify the flesh. We have to deny ourselves. The man came to, I think it was Peter and John. They was passing through the gate, and the man sat there at the gate, was begging for money, and they said, "Silver and gold have we none. But what we have, we're going to share with you." And they shared Christ with him. John chapter 15, verse number 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine." And if we are not in the vine, if we are not connected to the vine, we die. I was trimming orange trees yesterday. And whenever you take in, and you take in pruners and you lop off one of them limbs and you disconnect it from the vine, can you glue it back? No. Can you just stick it out there and get it close to the vine and hope that it grows again? Well, what's going to happen to it? It's going to die. So whenever we disconnect ourselves from God, we begin to wither. Thanks be to God that He's a little more forgiving than them orange trees are. Because if we commit to Him, if we come back to Him, if we ask Him to forgive us where we have so many times failed Him, He will renew us. He'll restore us. But the reason the churches are empty today, the reason the churches are closing and turning into gymnasiums, the reason that the world has gone absolutely nuts, it isn't because God has left man, it's because man has left God. It's because we want to treat God like a piece of jewelry we put on Sundays and just ignore Him the rest of the week. It's because we will commit to anything and everything in this life, but we refuse to commit to God. And that is extremely evident by the way that we live. We're not going to miss a football game, but we're not going to make it to church but once a week. We're not going to dare miss work. We're not going to dare be late to school. We're not going to make it to Sunday school. We're going to make sure that our kids are on time, and we'll send them to school early for tutoring before school. But we just cannot make a 10 o'clock Sunday school. We can't manage to pick up our Bible. One of the only countries in the world that the number of Bibles outnumber the number of people. And yet we can't find ourselves to pick up Bibles and read them throughout the week. In the Old Testament, whenever the people wanted to go see God, you know what they had to do? They couldn't fall on their knees and reach Him. They had to go see somebody. They had to go see a priest. They had to go offer a sacrifice. They had to work. And God did away with all of that and said that we have one mediator between us and Him, and that is Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is look through Jesus to God, and we can reach Him, and we still don't talk to Him. Let's go one more time to John chapter number 3, and we're going to draw to a close this morning. While you're headed, I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 20, verse number 3. Very familiar scripture. Most of you know exactly where it's from. It's the chapter with all of the thou shalt nots in it. And one of the most important ones is thou shalt have no other gods before me. John chapter 3, verse number 14. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, So must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Have everlasting life. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because there was a problem, because there was sin in the camp, because there were snakes biting these people, and whenever snakes would bite them, they would die. I hate to be one to tell you this morning, but I want to turn to the lost just for a minute. But if you're here and you're not saved, you've never believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to die and go to hell. Could happen sooner, could happen later, I don't know. You don't either. We used to play this game as a kid. Two people standing across from each other, hold your hands out like this, and they would lay their hands on top of you. And you would try to flick your hands really quick and get them. Y'all remember that game? Remember that game? It's not a lot of time to react, is it? Whenever you die, there ain't going to be no time to react and hurry up and flip over. There's not going to be any time to react and move your hands. When you die, you're got. You're done. It's over. It's finished. What you deal with Christ at that point will determine your eternity forever. You know what the good thing about it is? What you do with Christ at this point can change your eternity forever. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, all the people had to do was look toward that serpent. Look toward God's judgment. Look toward God's solution and live. That's it. No sacrifices. None. All they had to do was look. And even as the serpent was raised up, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should have eternal life. Jesus Christ was lifted up on a cross so that you could have eternal life. Jesus Christ shed His blood so that you could have eternal life. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ was buried. Jesus Christ rose again, conquering death, conquering hell, so that you didn't have to. And He said that if you'll believe in Him. And I love this verse, and Brother Dean did a great job with the Sunday school lesson this morning. Sunday school lesson was on eternity. And the salvation is eternal. And the salvation is fixed. And the salvation is forever. And Jesus said in verse 16, "For God so loved the world." Even though you don't love Him, it's evident by our actions, we don't love Him like we should. Even though we don't love Him, He loved us. And whenever we were unlovable, whenever we were out of His, whenever He was out of our reach, whenever we had no knowledge at all of Jesus Christ, He loved us and He died for us before we came along. Because God loved you. Now, I'm not going to do it this morning. I really wanted to, but I don't think I would have time to go through and call everybody's name. For God so loved Brother Terry, that God so loved Sister Monica, that God so loved every one of us, that He gave His only begotten Son.
so that your sin would not send you to hell. Jesus died so that your sin could be forgiven. But it's conditional. It's conditional. You have to believe. It's the hardest, easiest thing you'll ever do in your life. Paul said, whosoever believeth on the name of Jesus. Jesus said, whosoever believeth. This morning, if you'll believe in Jesus Christ, you will change your eternal address. You will change your eternal home. Because right now, if you're outside of the ark of salvation, if you have not yet believed on Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you are bound for hell. The Bible says that the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It is a place like you have never heard or seen before. Our minds can't imagine it. But the Bible says that if you'll believe in Jesus, you shall be saved. And that is an eternal salvation. It is something that you cannot lose. Paul Washer said that if Jesus Christ was 99.9% for salvation, but the other 1% with us, we'd all be going to hell. Salvation is 100% what Jesus did on that cross. 100% what He did on that cross. All you have to do is believe. And the Bible says if you'll believe in Him, you'll have everlasting life. But just like with saved people, committing to God, we can't serve the world and man. As a lost person, you are loved. You're loving living in sin. You're comfortable living in sin. This morning, I hope you've become uncomfortable. Because bound for hell is not a place that you want to find yourself. Bound for hell is not a place that you want to be. Another thing that Paul Washer said is he said you cannot have a new relationship with God until you have a new relationship with sin. In order to be saved, you have to turn loose of the world. You cannot serve two masters. In order to be saved, you have to turn loose of sin. You have to turn loose of all of the treasures that you've laid up on this earth. You have to turn loose of everything that you're hanging on to. You have to turn loose of believing in this or believing in that. And forget about all of it except believing in Jesus Christ. He is the only one. He is the only way. Jesus said that He was the light. He was the way. He is the door. He is the bread of life. And He is the only way to heaven if you'll believe on Him this morning. God, for Jesus' sake, we'll save you. Well, have a verse of a song. We're going to ask for a verse of invitation.